more you praise God, the more aware you will become of His presence. Sin makes God seem far away, when actually God never moved. But when I sin, I turn around from God. I turn away from God. And it makes God seem far away. But the more you praise God, the nearer He seems. Now that's going to be so important. We've been talking all month about the power of praise and releasing power, releasing praise, and releasing what God has for us. It's so important because the devil is warring against you, your family, your children, and he's using all kinds of tactics. But you have a weapon that will work for you in the middle of any kind of attack. And not just for you, your weapon will work for your family. You can praise God and see victory for your children, and they may be in another city. See, but the Bible says to be careful or worried about nothing. Now, your children could be in another city, and you could be at home worrying. And your worrying, fretting, and being careful won't produce power to help them. Go with me to Psalm 34. Let's go back over there where Leroy had us. Psalm 34. We're going to talk some more about praise. Psalm 34, I'm going to start reading in the first verse. You know what, just before I read that, I just wanted to share this. This was a word for somebody. I don't know who this is for, but somebody has been attacked with the thought that what you're going through is too hard for God or too big for God. Or you've been in it too long, been going through it too long for God to deliver you. And this is the word that I have for you in Jeremiah, chapter 32. It says, God says, verse 27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And then verse 17, he says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." So if that's you, if the devil's been telling you it's your situation's too hard, the word of God says there's nothing too hard for God. Woo! You know, when the angel, when Gabriel came to Mary and told her, "You're about to have a baby." And Mary said, "How can this be? I haven't even known a man. I haven't had sex with nobody." And the angel said, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Somebody's in the middle of something that's about to get a breakthrough. Because nothing is impossible with God. You may have had whatever you got for a long time. You may have had it for 10 years, 15 years. But nothing is too hard for God. You may say, "Well, my marriage has been like this for 15, 16, 17 years. Will he ever get it?" Yes. Because nothing is too hard for God. Let me give you another one. This was when Jesus was talking to his disciples. You remember he was talking about how it's harder for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Remember that? And the disciples said, they said, well, who then can be saved? And here's what Jesus said. He said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Somebody say, all things are possible. One day I was looking, the Lord gave me this one day when I was looking at what was happening in the culture, and I was just like, oh God, just take me home, just get me out of here, just send fire and brimstone, just. And God said, is anything too hard for me? Is it too hard for me to change the culture? Is it too hard for me to save the nation? Is it too hard for me to bring revival? Is it too hard for me? And I had to repent. And he started showing me these scriptures. So you may be in a situation. You may be looking, facing something. And you may feel like it's too hard. Listen, today you can start rejoicing today. Start rejoicing today. Woo! Nothing's too hard for God. All right. Where did I tell you to go? Listen, just before we go there, I was just sensing this. Is someone having a loss of range of motion in your shoulder, right shoulder? God wants to heal that. Who is that? Is anybody right shoulder, range of motion, right here? I didn't say limp. I said, oh, shoulder. Okay. Come on. Very quickly, those of you who have been right shoulder, actually, I didn't want y'all to come. I want y'all to stay in your seats, really. Just limp back over there, okay. But she's eager. You know, when you're eager, that's when you receive. When you're hungry, that's when you receive. Now, listen, here's what I want you to do. Those of you who have the shoulder, would y'all just stand? Just stand up where you are, okay? And we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask if you've had some range of shoulder issues. We're going to believe God to restore your range of shoulder. Now, would you all, those of you who are near them, would you go and just gather around them and let's begin to pray for them. Jesus said believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, just before you pray, just kind of get with them. And those of you who have the issue, would you just kind of move your arm to the place where it hurts? I don't mean hurt yourself, but just so we can see, so they can see what the range is. So this, like, if it hurts right here, then this is 10, okay? And then anything above that, we're going to go from there. This is pain level. What's your pain level? 10. Is it right there? You got it? Everybody got it? Okay, now begin to pray. Let's lay hands on. Father, we just thank you today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we know that your desire is not for any person to be sick, infirm, or weak, or painful. And so right now, we just command devils to take your hands, off of God's people. We command it in the name of Jesus. And now we command your body, your shoulders, your arms, and your back to be adjusted. We command you to be restored to your full range of motion now in Jesus' name. Believers are laying hands on the sick, and they are recovering from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Now, begin to move your arm. Just check yourself. See if your range of motion, see where you are. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's happening? What's happening? If you can tell some kind of difference, just raise your hand, I guess. Okay. Okay, now Kathy, what was it and what did Jesus do?
Mom was hurting when you was talking. And when they laid their hands on me, you said go to 10, but I was scared, so I stopped. And then Lord said, just lift it on up. So I put it where it was hurting at. And when they started praying, I wanted to just lift it on up while they was praying. But I said, I'm going to wait till he tell me to. And when you did, I mean, that's nothing.
Hallelujah. No more pain. Let's praise Jesus. He's the same yesterday and today. Are you better? What, tell me.
Pastor, I have not been able to raise my arm for the last 4 months. Yes, for the last 4 months. And they told me that I had a frozen shoulder and I was going to have surgery again. You remember when I had surgery on this side?
Yeah.
I said, I ain't letting them cut on me no more. I said, Lord, if you go ahead, and I know you're a healer, I'm going to tolerate this until you heal me. And when you called me out, and you're right, I was excited because, you know, he'd been messing with my leg too, Pastor. But when you called me out, I said, today is the day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And hallelujah. Up. And so are you still in any pain?
Yes, I'm still in a little bit of pain, but it's up high.
Could you all lay hands on her one more time? So, Father, we just thank you now for healing the frozen shoulder. And now we just command the rest of the pain, all of the pain, to leave your shoulder and across your back. Lay hands right across her back right here. In the name of Jesus, all across her back, be healed. We pray, we command an adjustment now that's causing that shoulder to be free from pain. And there it goes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What? What's the Lord doing?
Oh, it's been both of mine. I have been to the doctor and everything, and I was having muscle spasm in my left one, and then she was talking about it was getting worse, and they had started doing x-ray. So I go back on the 27th. When I call for my resort, she said, I cannot discuss your resorts over the phone. I have to have you to come in. My report, I'm clear.
How's it? You feel?
I don't feel anything. I could not lift my arm across. Brian can tell you, I could not lift my arms. I could not even move in the direction. And now I am healed by the grace of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lee, what's happening? What's Jesus doing?
Woo, he's doing it. I can move my arm back like this.
Now, wait, you couldn't do that before?
I couldn't do it, Pastor. I could not do it like this. I could do it like this. I could do it like this. But now I can do it like
this. You can
go
all the way back. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where am I? Where? What's happening? What's Jesus doing?
For the past 2 weeks, I couldn't lift my arm. It was almost like a crook in my shoulder.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. You come around. I have to come all the way around. I'm coming. What's Jesus doing?
Healing me.
Yay, God. What was it? What?
I have bursitis and tendonitis, and I always wake up with a lot of tension and pain on my neck and my shoulders. And I felt the pain this morning, and I feel better now.
Praise God. It was this shoulder?
Yes.
And you were in pain. How much pain are you in now?
None.
None? None. Let's praise God. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm coming. Yay, God. This is how we do it, morning, night. What's Jesus doing?
Oh, he's just healed my arm. I could only lift it to here, before, but now I can lift it all the way around.
Oh, come on,
hallelujah,
Jesus.
I'm telling you.
That's
amazing. Yes.
And you were bold to stand up and receive what God is doing. Boy, can I come through here? Just cut me off a little bit of time here. Yeah. Okay. What's the Lord doing?
Well, I had tendonitis in this shoulder. I retired a year ago, and I've been going to physical therapy, actually, for my hip. And they said I had degenerative disc disease, and I had told one of the saints, and they prayed
Jesus
for
can
me.
Take care of all of that.
Yes, yeah. And now the shoulder, I have my husband every night. He's rubbing it, trying a big old knot up here. And they gave me some exercises to do, but hallelujah, I can lift it up with no pain.
Hey! Were you in pain earlier today?
Yes, I wasn't going to come up, but my husband said, go. And I said, well, your shoulder hurts too.
You're tired of rubbing that shoulder. Okay, go ahead. And now there's no pain.
No pain in Jesus'
name. Come on, can we praise Jesus? Thank you. Can we praise Jesus? What's Jesus doing?
Well, I played quarterback for John Harden High School.
Okay.
And I hurt my
shoulder. Go ahead.
And I hurt my shoulder about 3 weeks ago, and I haven't been able to fully practice or throw in like 2 or 3 weeks. And now I'm pain-free.
You were in pain earlier?
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's thank God. The young people are receiving. The young people are receiving. Jesus is real. Now listen, in the Bible, whenever God showed up, let me show you something. Look at, I think it's Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Woo! I mean, people are gonna come to Radcliffe and Hardin County from all around as they want the healing, because God is a healing God. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and he sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, that means they couldn't talk, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now listen, praise just erupts. Glorifying God just erupts when you begin to see the power of God in our midst. When God begins to touch people, it just causes them to just worship and praise him. Come on, can we praise? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing power. Your healing power. Hebrews says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, there's nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to pray in just a minute. Where did I tell y'all to go? All right, let's go. Psalm 34. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 34, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Would you stand just for the reading? This is just what we do, just to honor God's word. We honor the Bible. We stand like we're standing at attention. We stand ready to receive our orders, our marching orders from the word of God. Psalm 34, verse 1, I'll read it in the King James. Follow along with whatever you have. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Hallelujah. I like what Pastor Jenny was talking about when the boys were learning this, and they say, his praise shall, for how did they do it? My mouth. Okay, y'all do that. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. All right, one more time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's good. Okay, you can be seated. You can be seated. Now, my grandmother, she lived in Lynchburg, Virginia. My grandparents lived in Lynchburg. And when we go visit them, my grandma she'd be cooking in the kitchen, and she'd be singing. She'd just be singing, you know, something she heard Sunday morning, and throughout the rest of the week, she's singing praises to the Lord. And one of her favorites was, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. She'd just be singing. Nobody else in the kitchen. She's just walking around singing, singing, singing. Well, there's something when you get saved, when God does something for you, when he delivers you, praise just starts to bubbling up. It just starts to bubbling up. Now, here's the thing. Even though you may be saved, the devil's going to try to cut off your praise. You may have a praise in your heart, but the devil's going to try to keep it from getting out of your mouth. He's going to try to keep you from moving your hands. He's going to try to keep you from moving your feet. He's going to try to keep you from saying, praise the Lord. In other words, he's going to try to keep you from expressing to God your thanksgiving. Because the devil wants to keep you from joy. And that's what the Bible calls it, rejoicing. When we begin to express our thanksgiving, we begin to express our praise, the Bible calls that rejoicing. It's stirring up joy again. So you know what? We don't have to have perfect circumstances to praise God. We don't have to have perfect circumstances to have joy. In fact, if you learn what we're about to say, you can turn a negative circumstance into a joy-filled circumstance. You can turn a dark circumstance into a light circumstance. But you got to be willing to obey God. This is what the scripture says. Here's what he says. He says, I will bless the Lord how long? Okay, now, we're on the obey mode now, right? He says, this is what you got to do. This is what a believer does. This is what somebody that knows God, loves God, this is what we want. God, you got to help me because I can't do this by myself. I want to bless the Lord how long? At all times. You need to make that your prayer. God, help me learn how to give me the power to bless you, not curse you, not reject you, not rebel against you, but give me the strength to bless the Lord at all times. And then he says, his praise shall what? How many people want to get there? I can't say I'm there. I just want to get there, that his praise is continually in my mouth. No matter what you say about me, no matter what you do to me, huh? Come on. I want to get to the place that his praise is continually in my mouth. Because that last verse, verse 4, says that he delivers me. This is, if I can keep his praise in my mouth, if I can bless him continually, then I know that I'm going to have my deliverance from whatever the devil's bringing against me. Turn to somebody and tell them, you can't keep me down. Come on. Grandma, she would be just singing some praise songs. And last Wednesday night, I started to tell you, I was telling you about songs, how you can select songs that will help you to build your faith. And that's going to be important. And now I'm not saying don't listen to any other kind of music. You know, you can listen to what you want to. But there are certain songs that you need to have in your life that encourage your faith. So that when the devil's attacking you or attacking your family or attacking your finances or attacking your health, listen, music can be a great power of inspiration for you. But not just any music. You've got to choose songs that will encourage your faith. So I'm going to give you those things that I talked Wednesday night. I didn't give it to them in writing, but I'm going to put them on the slides here, and you can get these. These are songs that will build your faith. Some things to look for when you're looking for songs that will build your faith. Okay, so here's the first thing. Go ahead. Okay, does the song, look for songs that line up with the Word of God. In other words, does the song agree with the Word of God? Okay. You want a song, whenever you're going through something, you want a song that agrees with what God says about the situation. So now, I was telling them in the first service, and I think I may have told you all this before. You know, I've been in a restaurant, and I was listening to the song. Just the other day, I actually heard this song again. Me and Mrs. Jones. Okay? Yeah. Now, it's a smooth song. You know what I'm saying? Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. That was some music. But here's the thing. And you can listen to whatever you want to. But the point is, when you need faith, when you need a miracle, when you need strength, when you need to be a loving, powerful person, you need some songs that encourage your faith. So you need some songs that line up with what the Bible says, that agrees with what the Bible says. Put Mrs. Jones on the line, you know, put it on the side for a while until you, I really say kind of let it go, but if you can't let it go completely, just get through whatever you're going through first, okay? Okay, here's another one. Does the song encourage or inspire faith in God's mercy? Does the song encourage and inspire faith in God's mercy? Now, here's, I'm going to give you this now. Put this on the shelf if you can't handle it, but there are some inspiring songs, but they're really, sometimes you get songs that are inspiring about you. They're like, you know, I can't think of one right now, but I can make it, I can make it. Believe in yourself. Okay, there's one from Believe in Yourself as I Believe in You. What's that from? Okay, y'all don't get that. Okay. What's it? It was from the play Oz. Yes, Oz. The Wiz. Thank you. It's from The Wiz. Thank you. Believe in yourself. Okay, that's a wonderful song. Wonderful song. But it will not bring you faith in God. Because it's focused on faith in you. It's all about how good you are, and I believe in you, and all of that's fine. But listen, when you need God, you don't need to be focusing on you, okay? As a matter of fact, usually your problem is that you're so focused on you, you can't see God. And so you need, listen, praise and worship is to turn our focus away from ourselves, away from our giants, away from our circumstance, away from our problem, and turn our focus back to God. So, does the song encourage and inspire faith in God's mercy? Okay. Now, you can listen to the other songs, you know, whenever you want to, but when you need a miracle, you need to find songs. Here's one that contains portions of scriptural promises. Does the song have scriptures in it? Okay, it could have, you know, it could have some just nice words in it. Like, you know, I don't think there's a song that has this, but, you know, how Mr. Spock used to say, live long and prosper. Well, if somebody made a song out of live long and prosper, that would be a really nice, positive, affirming song. But you need songs that are going to build your faith in God. So does the song contain portions of scriptural promises? And then here's another one. Does the song remind you of the goodness of God? Now, stay with me here again. You can put this on the shelf. If this doesn't, you know, if you can't handle this, just, you know, put it on the shelf to another time. But there's some Christian songs that really won't remind you of the goodness of God. It's like songs about God. God's going to get you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? God's, you know, up the rough side, and God's got a hard time, and he won't put more on you than you can bear, but you better bear what you got. You know what I'm saying? See, there's some songs that they may have been good in another generation. They may have been good in slavery times. But listen, you need some songs that inspire you to with the revelation of the goodness of God for this generation that you're living in. You're not in slavery. Okay. If you can't handle it, just put it on the shelf. Here we go. Okay. Does the song glorify Jesus? Does the song glorify Jesus? So these are just some thoughts now. So just look for some songs. Get you some songs that you can put in you for when you need a miracle, when you need God on your side. Okay, let's go on. Let me just tell you about these scriptures. In the 9th chapter of Matthew, there came a certain ruler to Jesus, and the Bible says that he worshiped Jesus because his daughter was at the point of death. He needed Jesus to heal her. I'm not going to turn there, so don't worry about trying to find it. I'm just going to tell you, it's Psalm 9, verse 18. The Bible says he came and he worshiped Jesus. Then in Matthew chapter 15, there came a woman to Jesus, and her daughter was possessed by a demon. And the Bible says she came and worshiped Jesus. And then in Mark chapter 5, there was a man who had demons in him, and all of these demons were in him, and the Bible says that he saw Jesus from afar off, and he came and worshiped Jesus. And so the word worship, when we talk about praise and worship, the word worship comes from a root word that also gives us the words worth, W-O-R-T-H, and worthy, okay? In other words, we worship what we consider to be worthy. Okay, so you know how we do. We jump up and down when our team scores because our team is worth our sweat. Come on, come on, you know what I'm saying? Okay, all of y'all Alabama fans and Auburn fans and Kentucky fans and Louisville fans. Being in the stadium is not like being in church. Come on, right? Being in the stadium, you go. I mean, you can watch the game at home, but you go to the stadium to act a fool, don't you? Come on. You go to the stadium because you really want to be the hoo. You know what I'm saying? You want to act a fool. That's why you go. You can just stay home if you want to just watch the game. Because the team is worthy of your sweat. The team is worthy of your worship. But then when we come to church, it's just different. But I'm believing that we're going to get to the place where when you come in here, it's just like going to the best game. It's just, you're watching your champion, you're watching him win. You're watching him get your victory. Ha ha ha. Woo! Ha ha ha. We just come to church to act a fool. Come on. Hallelujah. Worship centers on the answers to a series of questions that we all face. Here are some of these questions. Just think about these. When we talk about what we worship, what matters most to me? Whom do I care about most? Who or what gets my devoted allegiance and loyalty? What's my top priority? Where does my time, energy, and money go? I think that's why it's so quiet in church. When we answer these questions honestly, we get a pretty accurate picture of where our heart is with God. He created us to worship. He created us to worship him. But remember I told you, the devil's going to try to steal your worship. He's going to try to stop your praise. He's going to keep you from expressing your thanksgiving to God. Remember when Jesus was he was in the wilderness. He was in the wilderness, and he had been fasting 40 days. And then the devil comes and he tempts him. And here's what the devil, one of the temptations was that the Bible says that the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, all of this, the devil said, all of this is given to me, and I will give it to you. And listen to this. Here's what he told Jesus. I will give it to you if you will bow down and worship me. You see, there is a spirit of idolatry that's loosed in the earth that causes people to worship anything and everything but won't let them worship God. The spirit of idolatry causes us even to worship ourselves, our own opinions, our own ideas, as though our ideas were as good as God's ideas. Let me read you a couple scriptures. Let me give you these. This is what the Bible calls idolatry. First, let me just read this for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, talks about how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. 1 John 5:21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, there's that word, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Ephesians 5:5 says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous person who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. You see, worshiping idols will keep you from receiving your inheritance. I'm talking about your inheritance in earth. I'm not saying you won't go to heaven. I'm not talking about you won't go to heaven. I'm talking about God has provided an inheritance for you in the earth. God has provided, he sent Jesus so that every human being, the Bible says he sent Jesus so that every nation and every family could be blessed. That's the plan of God. That's the whole purpose of God, so that every nation and every family could be blessed. But the devil wants to keep people in idolatry so that we don't receive what our inheritance is. Now, idolatry, idols, worshiping idols, here are two things that they'll do to you. Worshiping idols will harden your heart. And worshiping idols will prevent you from repenting. In other words, when you have idols in your heart, when you worship idols, you'll hear, I shouldn't be doing that. You know you're doing it, but you'll excuse it. You'll justify it. You won't repent. Repentance, it will be far from you because you got these idols that you worship instead of worshiping God. But when you become a worshiper of God, when you hear that you're doing something that's against the word of God, your first reaction is, I'm going to repent. Have I gone too long? Are y'all still here? Okay, let me do that again, because that's a real big deal. When you have idols in your life, when you hear something from the word of God and God's telling you to change, when you have idols in your heart, in your life, your heart will be hardened and those idols will keep you from repenting. You'll still go to church, but you won't repent. And nobody out here will know it. Nobody sitting next to you will know that you don't have a repentant heart. You look like, you know, you dressed up, you look nice. But the Bible says that God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart, and he's working. Listen, he wants you to repent. He wants you to have a change of heart so that he can turn you and lead you into the path of righteousness. He can lead you into the blessings he created you for. But if you don't have a soft heart that's quick to repent, he can't turn you. You just keep going your way and excusing your way and justifying your way. And the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, and the ends of that way are death. The devil wants to rob us of our blessings, our inheritance, our purpose by getting us to worship idols. Ultimately, the reason we praise God is because he sent Jesus Christ to be our Lord and our Savior. That's why we praise him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Let us praise. Continually be in my mouth. Continually be in my mouth. Pray, choir, would y'all come and just lead us? Now listen, while the choir's going to come, God may be touching you, speaking to you. I want you to just come if you feel led to just bow before him, just confess sins to him. Whatever it is that he's laying on your particular heart, just feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Come on, choir.